Listening to.
I got my two Stanley Cup rings plugging my ear.
The Man Cave Podcast.
I'm a man! I love this amazing!
With Jeremy Lambert.
Can't wait!
Yes, we're in the Man Cave. Tamer Katie's here. What's up, buddy?
Nothing. Super excited. Can't begin to explain how excited I am. We have an awesome card to review and two cards to preview, am I right? That
two
I have
cards.
No idea about. Yeah.
two awesome cards. I can only name one fight from these two cards, and we talked about them both last week.
I don't even remember what those fights are, honestly.
Oh, well.
We'll get to that, I guess.
That's what they are.
All right.
No, well, there's one good fight.
One good fight. Is it in a main event?
Yeah, it's a main event fight.
Well, you know, at least there's that. And in fairness, well, I wouldn't say I'm excited, but let's just say I'm not utterly disdained to talk about Lyoto Machida.
You know what that one good fight is on these two cards, right, Fast?
No, no idea.
It's for the TRT title.
So Vitor?
Yeah.
Who's he fighting? Hold on. Is it? Oh, Dan Henderson. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. That's a good fight. Yeah, okay.
Right, we'll preview that on the next podcast coming out next week. First, we have to review this card. Lyoto Machida remains awesome.
Like, as if he ever stopped being awesome. Well, I know. I mean, you and I
that's
know
why
that.
That's why I said remain.
Yeah, I know. This is not really dedicated at you, but dedicated to all those, oh, where doesn't he always fight like that? I mean, I'm going to be writing a column about Machida this week, but it doesn't matter. I always spoil my column on these podcasts, so whatever. So I'll just go ahead and say it. I hate more than one thing about MMA, but there's something I especially dislike about attitudes in the sport, fans' attitudes, is that it is incredibly difficult to shake off a reputation once you've acquired it. In fairness, that applies to life in general. But, I mean, it's one thing if Machida, all of a sudden, after a string of boring fights, just knocked Mark Munoz out like that. But it's a completely different thing when the dude literally has one of the most breathtaking highlight reels in the UFC. Seriously. Look at his list of finishes in the UFC. I'm not going to mention something like, oh, he arm triangled Sokuchu. No, nobody gives a shit about that. But
that's,
I mean,
pretty impressive though at the time.
It was impressive at the time that he beat him, yeah, because Sokuchu was coming off to huge wins. But I mean, in hindsight, I'm not going to mention that when discussing Machida's highlight reel, especially. But let's think of his. You know, I'm talking about really impressive finishes. Thiago Silva knockout. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. He
knocked
him
out three times.
Seriously. He tripped him to the mat with that karate sweep that he does. And then the accuracy to dive down with a right hand, kind of like Shogun against Overeem in the rematch, and just knock him out like that. Phenomenal. The Rashad Evans fight, I mean, I don't think it gets more jaw-dropping than that. I told you this before. There are only three times in MMA where I was like left completely speechless after a performance. Where, I mean, you wake up the next day just thinking about, like, oh my God. The first one, the one that really stands out, is pretty much everything that Anderson did against Forrest Griffin. GSP passing BJ Penn's guard and beating him up. Again, at the time, that was really impressive. And
so it came out that he was greased.
Sure. And the Lyoto Machida performance against Rashad. So you had, that was amazing. The timing on the Ryan Bader knockout was phenomenal. Obviously,
knocked him out twice with two punches.
Well, that too. And then you have.
Oh, he did. Remember, Bader charged forward and he caught him, and then
right
on the way down, he hit him again.
I know. Awesome. I remember that. And again, it's accuracy, because he didn't. I mean, he caught him as Bader was kind of still falling down. Yeah, it's actually, now that you mentioned that, I do remember that. And then you have the Randy front kick knockout that sent his tooth flying. And you have the Mark Munoz one. Now, all these knockouts, maybe I'm missing something in there, but I don't think so. All these knockouts are truly, truly special. I'm not talking about knockouts in which, you know, he just landed a series of strikes and his opponent just, you know, it was too much to handle and he collapsed. I'm talking about all of those were clean knockouts. I'm talking clean knockouts. Can you really think of many fighters who have had as many clean KOs, not TKO, like knockout out cold? Am I wrong when I say that every single one of those was just completely out cold?
No, all those guys were out cold.
Like, yeah, I'm talking about unconscious. How many guys have done that?
Anderson is the immediate one that comes to mind.
Has he really put as many people just flat out out cold? I'm not debating.
No, probably.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not debating their highlight reels. Obviously, Anderson's highlight reel is, you know, far above and beyond anybody else on the sport. But I'm talking about, you know, because the reason why I mention the fact that all of his opponents were out cold, it's not some technicality that I'm playing on to try to boost Lyoto Machida's talk. It's to highlight a fact that this guy has pinpoint accuracy when he's throwing power shots. This is not a dude who's just throwing a jab or whatever. The timing you need to have, the accuracy, the technique, the power. This is why I personally love Lyoto Machida. This is why I genuinely go out of my way to watch this guy fight. Because he brings something completely different to the table that nobody else brings. Now, I'm not saying this guy is without fault. At times, he does fight too passively for his own good. The Rampage fight, I still think he won that fight. But he did, obviously. But still, it could have been far more decisive had he decided to pretty much attack in the first two rounds. You know, he wouldn't have let anything to chance. I hate to talk about the Phil Davis decision because it's beyond suck. It really is a disgrace. So I don't want to sound like I'm blaming Machida or whatever, but even then, yeah, he was a bit passive at times. That is true, but you can't deny the fact that this guy has made a real effort to change his ways. Remember after he beat Tito, everybody was talking about, you know, this guy is undefeated, he's really good, you know, what about, but he'll never get a title shot because he's boring. And he mentioned that he's going to change his style. And then he went out of his way, he knocked out Thiago Silva, got the title shot, and knocked out Rashad in style. So this is the dude who's actually, I'm not saying he fights more aggressively, because he's not necessarily aggressive. But he definitely fights with a greater sense of purpose. He definitely has learned to use his otherworldly technique and timing and the ease in which he opens his opponent up to put them away as opposed to outgun them for 15 minutes or whatever. And on top of all those knockouts I mentioned, you have the first Shogun fight, which, you know, dreadful decision and everything. But that was an awesome fight. I really think this often gets lost in the shuffle because of the decision. This was a real tactical masterpiece by both, really. It's an awesome, awesome fight in which just fighters training, you know, grueling body shots and knees to the body. It's really one of those fights where even though it wasn't like balls to the walls action, and it was kind of slower paced, it was still terrific to watch. So this dude, how many of his performers would you say were like, oh my god, outright boring? Can you really think of many?
Yeah, some of those early fights did kind of.
Yeah, and that was when? That was in 2007. Yeah, so about six
ever
years
since
ago.
Pretty much the Tito fight. Well, no, the Sokaju fight was before that. Pretty much
right.
Since the Sokaju fight, he's been awesome.
Yeah, so that was in December of 2007, the Sokaju fight, right? Okay, so I mean, that's almost 6 years now. I think we can give the guy a pass. I think it's time to let go of that.
Well, only idiots still claim that.
Well,
he's
yeah, and I understand that he's not everybody's cup of tea, but at some point you need to admit facts here. Look at what this dude is doing. Okay,
good luck.
Okay, seriously, let me give an example. Let's talk about fighters who used to be associated with excitement. Quentin Rampage Jackson. Okay. Let's look at his pre-A-Team days, right? When he was still, you know, fairly relevant. I don't want to hold his later performances against him, even though I should.
Come on, he's got a big fight against Tito Ortiz coming up this weekend.
Was that actually supposed to be this weekend?
Yeah. We were going to preview that. I swear to God, I was going to make you preview this.
Oh, my God. Thank God for Tito's cracked whatever. Skull, what is it this time?
I was pumped for this fight.
You know what? I honestly wanted to see it just for the train wreck factor, but...
Yeah, exactly.
That's too bad. Have I mentioned that I have absolute disdain and resentment for Tito Ortiz? Especially after he wondered why Floyd Mayweather gets paid more than he does. This really...
What?
You haven't heard that?
No,
he was wondering why...
I don't keep up with what these morons in MMA...
Oh, neither did I, but I caught it on Twitter. When I read that, I grew ill. Because no matter how fucking delusional you are, even if you're trolling, even if you're Chael Sonnen, even if you're whatever, it's one thing to call yourself the people's champ, even though you haven't been the champion of anything in years and you haven't won a fight since, like, well, the Ryan Bader one.
Fucking Ryan Bader.
Yeah, that, he really ruined all of our, like, all of our stats here. We could have been saying, like, Tito hasn't won a fight in forever, but then there's that elephant in the room. But, yeah. When has he ever done anything in the past, like, eternity?
In the past, like, 10 years, really.
Seriously. And this dude keeps acting like he's relevant. Okay, and no. Don't give me this, oh, you know, he's Tito by now. You should get used to it. Okay, fine. I don't expect any better. But it's still irritating as shit when it happens. Because, dude, let go already. Let go. Go fight. I mean, remember, like, in Affliction when he was, you know, being the awful commentator / post-fight interviewee. Interviewer,
greatest
sorry.
Man of all time.
Yeah. When was he being the interviewer?
Let me
and
tell
he was
you
like,
about your performance.
Let me tell you how you're feeling right now. That's what he said. Let me tell you how you're feeling right now. And my favorite was like, you know what, buddy? Seraldo Babalu. That's what he called it. Seraldo Babalu, I think my back is healed and a lot of people would like to see us fight. Seraldo Babalu, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best light heavyweights on the night. That was...
Oh, awesome.
For that alone, he should get paid more than Money Mayweather. So, Tito Ortiz,
well,
I don't know.
Tito Ortiz doesn't make more than Floyd Mayweather because his last 10 pay-per-views don't equal up to one of Mayweather's. That's a lie, because I know like he and Chuck did a million, but still.
Hasn't he been on 10 pay-per-views since, though?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay, well, maybe he's... last like 7 pay-per-views don't equal to Mayweather's last pay-per-view. That's one way to put it. I just threw this off the top of my head, but it's probably true.
Well, let's see. The four isn't headlines a problem. If you look at just headlining, UFC 133, because he was on UFC 121, and that was Brock and Kane, and obviously that was huge.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him credit for that shit. He didn't add a single buy there.
The ones where he actually... headlined were and actually made a difference to the buy rate. UFC 133 against Rashad Evans.
He made a negative difference to that buy rate.
That did 300,000, just over.
Which is great by today's standards. This is heavyweight title fights. That's what they're doing right now. Maybe Tito should be getting paid more than Cain Velasquez. There you go. They're paying the wrong Mexican.
The second Forrest fight did just under 400.
That how the fuck did that happen is beyond. See, the standards have lowered since, as far as you know, the baseline. We've touched on this before because a fight like that these days does 100,000 buys. Yeah. I'm not even joking. I'm not saying that because both are like semi-retired. Even if you clone them from that era and put them now, that's what this fight does now. So yeah,
I'd give him credit for UFC 73. He wasn't the main event. That was Silva and Marquardt. but that was the first stacked. Fight against Rashad.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was stacked. A stacked card. It was so stacked that they felt the need to tell us by putting it in the title.
That's just over 400. So yeah, if you take those three pay-per-views, which are the ones I'd give him credit for, would you give him credit for 84?
Oh.
Machida.
I mean, that's, you know, you had BJ on that card, and he's always been an underrated draw. And him and Sean Sherk, that was, you know, people were hyped for that fight because all BJ needed was to say two words to solve the fight. Well, three.
Sean Sherk, you're dead.
Yeah, pretty much. Four words. Did a far better job than most would do these days. And that hand, yeah, Vanderlei and Keith, let's be honest, you got to give him credit for that because he hadn't fought in a while, I think. And
almost a year.
And he was still almost barely relevant.
Yeah, and they sold that as like his last
year. Yeah, it was his last fight. And then he came up with the Dana is my bitch thing. Yeah, he actually, there was a bit of buzz around Tito. That's probably the last time there was any sort of buzz around Tito.
Still, if you take those four
still,
cards,
that was 2008.
It doesn't equal Mayweather's latest pay-per-view.
Yeah. So I don't know what we're talking about Tito anyway, but weren't we talking
I'm
about
so
Machida being
off.
Awesome?
He had to get injured again.
Oh, right. Yeah, because I mentioned Rampage, actually. So, yeah, exciting fighters. Getting back to that point. Fuck Theodore Ortiz, by the way. But Rampage.
We got to watch 45 minutes of Theodore Ortiz in 2 months, less than 2 months.
Yeah, against a guy that I dislike almost as much.
Yeah, so we have to do this.
With three idiots on commentary.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like the Stefan Bonner one?
Oh, that was the first fight.
Atrocious. Yeah,
yeah, we're not really listening to the commentary. We're providing our own commentary.
No, yeah, dude. Well, we're providing our own commentary, but the fights are not the same without the commentary. Without the cheerleading, I should say. Oh, and
we're providing our own.
By the way, in the last 30 seconds of the second fight, both you and I need to shut up and listen to how many times Mike Goldberg assures us that Tito has one more takedown in him.
That's fine.
Okay, just to be clear on this. Anyway, so yeah, Rampage Jackson. Could you really say without a shadow of a doubt that his highlight reel eclipses that of Machida? Okay, the Arona powerbomb is awesome. Knocking out Chuck and Vanderlei, even if Vanderlei was past his prime. That's, you know, that's some serious shit. I'm not going to deny him that. And he's got, you know, a ton of slams and whatever. And he used to be, come on, let's face it. The dude was in probably my personal favorite fight of all time against Vanderlei in the rematch. I'm never going to deny him that. But
since the Dan Henderson fight, Rampage has sucked.
Yeah. And even then people still talk as if, you know, he comes up with this propaganda that, oh, the UFC's only matching him against people who want to take him down. Oh, my God, what a crime, right? But anyway, and he seems to get a bit of a...
really tried hard to take him
down. Yeah, and people really give him a pass for that. All right, I'll go on beyond, ignoring the huge skill discrepancy. Chris Sleben, right? People, when you mention Chris Sleben, and people think, oh, exciting fighter, right? Okay. He's been in some stinkers, and I mean stinkers. Does this dude...
Bunch of shitty fights.
Yeah.
Chris Sleben sucks.
No, I'm not obviously... Well, I'm not comparing their skill. I mean, that'd be dubious.
This is wrong of you.
No, I'm talking about...
They shouldn't
about...
be mentioned. I know what you're trying to do. They shouldn't be mentioned in the same breath.
Obviously. But I'm trying to highlight a point where when people think of Chris Sleben, they think, oh, warrior, right? He's this dude who just comes out and swing, even though he's had a shit ton of performance where he's just taking guys down with underhooks or being taken down or whatever. And he's an exciting fighter. Does he have a better highlight reel than Lyoto Machida? Really? But just because he's got this idea that, oh, you know, I'm a fighter, right? I go out there and throw. And that's the thing these days. Like, not these days. That's always been the thing, really, where if you give this image, right, that you're this... And Chris Sleben, to his credit, he does that. I'm not saying, you know, he kind of...
Do anything else.
Right. It's not... Sure. True. But it's not like he tricked people into thinking he's a brawler. Well, he is a brawler, but people somehow conveniently ignore all of his shitty performances and yet talk about him being this exciting guy. And yet you get a guy like Machida. Oh, you know, he's tactical. He's elusive. That's because that's how he's been sold initially. And that's forever going to stick with him. Forever. And, I mean,
Lota Machida is awesome. This is the main point.
Right. And if you don't believe me, check out his highlights.
The way he set up the Munoz kick was awesome. He went to the body a bunch of times. He did his little like kicks a couple times. And then, of course, he went upstairs and knocked Munoz out cold. Munoz offered up nothing in this fight. He couldn't do shit, as everyone with a brain knew what was going to happen.
Before I say anything about the fight, real quick, I have to mention that Lyoto against Dan Henderson was not a great fight. That fight kind of escaped me. We have to be fair here.
I like that fight, but maybe that's just
me. I wanted two more rounds. I thought it was, but that's what I said. It was not a great fight, but I honestly enjoyed it more than most, and I wanted two more rounds. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, that was it. He set up the head kick beautifully. Knocked Munoz out cold. He could have punched him dead, but he saw that he was out cold, and he's like, nope, let me not kill this man. Then he took him out to dinner afterwards.
Yeah, see, that's the equivalent of a friendship in Mortal Kombat. I remember when, like, the dude says, finish him, and instead of performing a fatality, which in that case would have been, you know, a punch, you've never played Mortal Kombat 3 or whatever?
Dude, I have. I'm listening to you.
So you know what the friendship is.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, you do something wacky. In this case, Lyoto Machida just took him to dinner. I mean, somebody should make a montage of that where, you know, after dropping him, Shao Kahn says finish him, and then they show you pictures of Lyoto Machida and Mark Munoz sharing a meal in the restaurant, as he tweeted, and then, you know, the word friendship on top. That's what he did. He did not perform a fatality. But in all honesty, I mean, the way he set up the high kick was kind of like the oldest trick in the book. But hey, I'm not faulting him for it by any means. But you know,
very good.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Mark Munoz's striking sucks. His striking defense sucks even more, and his chin is pretty terrible. So you know, that was a bad combination. So Lyoto really stuck to the basics, and you can see what he's doing. I don't know. I mean, I saw a lot of people tweeting about this. So. It's not like I was the only one, but you could pretty much see what he was trying. I mean, you saw that kick coming a mile away, not necessarily in that particular moment, but you knew that's what he was setting up for, because it was kind of pretty obvious where, you know, you go for the body, you go for the legs, and then you fake low and you go high. That's really, it's textbook stuff, don't get me wrong, and he did it to perfection, and it was picture perfect. It was awesome. The way he landed on, like, the top of the way the kick landed on the top of Munoz's head reminded me of Krokop and Vanderlei. That was kind of similar. So, yeah, awesome knockout. Go ahead.
Is it wrong that I want Chris Weidman to beat Anderson Silva
so that Lyoto Machida could kill him?
Get out of him.
Honestly, I think at this point it's better for all parties involved, and I mean all parties involved, if Chris Weidman beats Anderson Silva, because I don't think Anderson wants to be the champion anymore, and he said as much. I'm not saying he doesn't want to win that fight, let's be clear. I'm just saying I think he's done everything he can do with the title. I mean, really, honestly, yes, it's important for Anderson to win that fight, because it's going to be, I don't want to say it, well, it is a sort of a blemish on his legacy. It's not really going to affect his legacy one way or another. He's still going to be the greatest, for at least for the foreseeable future. But, you know, there is going to be this guy who's beaten him twice, and that says something. You can never, if Weidman does it again, and you know, that cannot be underestimated. So obviously Anderson wants to win that fight. That goes without saying. But I don't think Anderson really would really be motivated to just hold that title again and defend it against like Hector Lombard or something. Just hypothetically,
fuck is he gonna fight? He doesn't want to fight Lyoto. He doesn't want to fight Jacare. Like, who the fuck else is
so
there?
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly my point. And this is a guy who 3 years ago, and even before that, was putting on stinkers just to kind of highlight a point that he doesn't want to be fighting these dudes, like guys like Patrick Cote and Tyus Latis. I don't know why I said Chris Leben and Damian Maia. These dudes whom he obviously was not motivated to fight against. So do you really want to put him in another scenario like that? So there's that. And at this point, I mean, the fan in me wants Anderson to win. I'll just go ahead and admit it. But at this point, I think it would be better for the division, just as far as, not as far as drawing power and everything. Obviously, Anderson as champion is going to draw far better than Chris Weidman. And obviously, you'd be kidding yourself if you didn't think the UFC's hoping Anderson recaptures the title. But as far as just, you know, that breath of fresh air in the division and the fresh matchups. I mean, if I say Chris Weidman against Vitor Belfort, or Chris Weidman against Jacare, or Chris Weidman against Lyoto, I mean, these are great fights that I'd genuinely be very excited for. But you tell me Anderson against Lombard, I mean, I'd be fine. I'd love to see Anderson turn him into a highlight reel. But
Lombard's at welterweight now.
Oh, yeah, that's actually true. That completely escaped me. I have no idea how he made weight. Him and Husamar Poharas made weight safely. Good grief. Who would have thought? Seriously. But I mean, okay, well, fine. Not Hector Lombard. Think of anybody
I'm looking
else.
At the UFC rankings. I'm going to pull them up right now because these are official.
Super official, right?
Yeah. Middleweight. Weidman, Belfort. He apparently won't fight him again.
Again?
Jacare won't fight him. Michael Bisping, like, okay. I don't know if he's ever going to fight again.
Yeah, he said that his career might... That'd be a real shame. Due to the detached retina, right? Is that what it is? Yeah. I mean, I'll say what you want about Michael Bisping, but you don't want to see somebody's career ended like that. Let's hope he's fine.
Lyoto Machida, he won't fight him. Luke Rockhold, who gives a fuck?
Right.
Mark Munoz is ranked number 7th. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
Francis Carmont is ranked number 8.
That's the fight I want to see.
Costa Filopu is ranked number 9. Like, these are your top 10 middle. Chael Sonnen is still number 10.
Dude, Francis Carmont, we'll never see Anderson versus GSP, but we'll see Anderson versus the next best thing.
Middleweight division sucks so bad. At least Weidman is champion.
And then
when Machida kills him.
Right, and then you can, if Weidman becomes the champion, he is the champion, but if he kind of asserts himself as the champion and defends his title, you can get something like, oh, Chael dropping down. Gegard Mousasi said he wants to drop back down, right? So you talk about like potential like Weidman, Chael, Weidman, Mousasi, Weidman, Belfort, and Weidman, Machida. These are 4 fights right there. And obviously, if Weidman loses to one of them, then whoever is the champion against these guys. We're talking about 4 fights. That's 2 years worth of fights, right? And by then, I'm sure the division would have sorted itself out. So that really breathes life into the division. It wouldn't have the same marquee feeling you get when it had Anderson fucking Silva as the champion. But we've had that, you know. I'm ready to be over that by now. I'm not saying I'm over Anderson. Obviously, I want him to fight still. But you know, let the dude fight whoever he wants. Let him cherry pick opponents. And when I say cherry pick, I'm not talking about getting easy fights. But let him get the money fights he wants. And yeah, I mean, it's fine if there's a new champion. Why not? It's a bunch of fresh matchups. And really, and I forgot to mention Weidman and Jacare. That's 5 matchups right there you can make. And we're talking about. Obviously, it's not going to work this way because one of these dudes is going to beat the other. One of them will be out of title picture. You know how it works. But still, at least the potential is there. The possibilities and the options are there. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, and I do want to see the fight I want to see the most if Weidman is the champion. Frankly, I want to see him in Jacare because stylistically that's really exciting or interesting at least. But I think Lyoto Machida is a nightmare matchup for Chris Weidman. I think
Machida is a nightmare matchup for everyone in that division.
Seriously, I think Machida beats Weidman and makes it look easy. That's my prediction there. Granted, yeah, whenever I say that about somebody, I it often backfires. But I'm not sure about making it look easy, but I think that's a very tough matchup for Chris Weidman. A very tough matchup.
I don't see anyone at middleweight who beats Machida.
Maybe, you know what's the worst part now? If Anderson becomes a champion again, Dana White talking about Anderson Silva against Machida all over again, only this time they're in the same division, so it's actually relevant. God help us all. Remember when Machida became the champion, and Dana White is gonna be like, was gonna throw $3 million at each or something like that. And Ed, actually no, he didn't say $3 million. Ed Suarez was the one who threw the number, and all the talk was about Machida fighting Anderson, even though Machida had never defended his title, and Anderson was only like fooling around at light heavyweight, like beating James Irvin and Forrest. That was in 2009, right after Machida won the title. And then obviously Machida had the controversial decision against Shogun. People forgot about that and just wanted to see the rematch. But for like a few months there, everybody was talking about Anderson versus Machida as if it was a reality, even though each was a champion of a different division. Well, God help us now. I mean, that fight, I'd love to see that fight, even though I doubt a single strike would be thrown. I'd still love to see that fight. But I don't,
greatest tango in Octagon history.
Dude, I would pay for that tango. I don't care.
It would be super intriguing until the first 5 minutes when neither guy does shit. And you're like, yep, we still got 20 more minutes of this.
Dude, no, I don't give a shit. I'll watch them stare at each other for 25 minutes.
No, I agree. I love both guys. But
dude, it's Anderson Silva against Lyoto Machida. Seriously, think about it.
It'd be awesome.
That, no, thinking about that makes me feel all tingly. Well, anyway, yeah, it's honestly, it's better for the division, just as far as matchmaking headaches and whatever, for somebody other than Anderson to be the champion. Because as you said, like a lot of these guys he's beaten again, the fresh ones, well, two of whom he's not going to fight, Jacare and Machida. And, you know, Machida being the real fresh, new fresh contender in the division who's really made his impact felt immediately. So he's really the one with the momentum right now. And he's the one people are going to be talking about. And he's the biggest star there other than Anderson. So that's the fight people are going to be talking about. And if that's not possible, then I really don't want to be put through another month of Dana White promising us another fight that he will fail to deliver yet again. I'm sorry. No, I don't want that to happen. So, if Chris Weidman remains the champion, I hope Machida wins one more fight and gets the title shot. Because
give him the title shot now.
Sure. I mean, I don't mind, but I think there are more. Are there really more deserving people out there? I don't even know.
Jacare is like it. Who else is there?
Right.
I just ran down the top guys. Belfort, if Belfort beats Henderson, fine. That's
That fight is like at light heavyweight. If Belfort beat, I was going to say give him Chael, but Chael's fighting Vanderlei after fighting Rashad. Maybe Chael will get like a special kind of booking where you book him three fights in advance, right? So now he's like fighting Rashad, Vanderlei, and then Belfort. So then that covers like 18 months down the road.
It's like booking to WrestleMania.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's like, yeah, we got to book Punk against Rock, but we all know it's Rock and Cena at WrestleMania again.
So yeah, I mean, I'm actually very glad Lyoto Machida moved down to middleweight. Let's face it, even if he had gotten that Davis decision, which he obviously should have, there was still not much for him to do at light heavyweight, and I doubt he would have stood much of a chance against John Jones. So, you know, he was kind of just wandering around beating good guys. And we've seen him fight all the intriguing ones. Like, I'd be very interested in seeing him against Alexander Gustafsson, but that's about it. Honestly, I think he kills Glover Teixeira. Like, absolutely makes him look like an amateur. Gustafsson would be interesting, even though I favor Machida because, you know, Gustafsson's reach and that fight is, at least, you know, Machida won't find it as easy to move in and out. But I'll be fine. I'll live if I don't see that fight. I'll be fine. I'd rather see Machida at middleweight.
I love Lyoto Machida. I'm glad he won. I'm glad it was impressive. Not that there was much doubt.
Yeah, let's be honest. As good as he is, it was still like a best-case scenario for him. Yeah, like seriously, you couldn't have picked a better fight for him because it's against a guy who's perceived as good. Right? Yet, he has all the holes in his game that would enable Machida to score such a knockout. So, I mean, it worked out perfectly.
It was exactly like the Bader fight, except at least Bader brought the threat of power on his face.
Yeah, you could have, exactly. I mean, you could have said, you know, maybe Bader lands like that overhand, right? Whereas while Munoz does possess power, it's just it's mainly in his ground and pound, and he was not going to put Machida on his back, at least not for a significant period of time. So that was, that threat was never there.
Co-main event, Ross Pearson and Melvin Gillard. No contest due to an accidental foul. Gillard kneed him while he was down. And
open the gash. Yeah. Too bad. Like, is there a Melvin Gillard fight like that's just normal? I mean, it's not like just talking about weird finishes or something. No, it's not just that. But he either like flakes, fights badly, doesn't listen to his corner. I don't know. A bag of ice gets dropped all over. It gets spilled all over the octagon. And Joe Rogan freaks out like never before for some reason. And I remember that was when he fought, what's his name? Hannes Torres. I don't even know why I remember that, but I do. And Joe Rogan just started doing play-by-play for the bag of ice spilling all over the octagon. I don't know why he felt so passionate. But yeah, anyway, okay, so no contest. Moving right on. Whoa,
they'll there... do it again, I'm sure.
Because the people demand to see that fight again.
Yeah.
Great.
Jimmy Manua beat Ryan Jimmo when Jimmo tweaked his knee. So another whack.
Awesome. Okay. Well, bad luck for that. I mean,
yeah, this fight had a lot of clinching. So, awesome.
Yeah, that can be good for the knees. How could you treat your knee the clinch? Okay.
Norman Park beat John Tuck by decision. These are great fights, ladies and gentlemen.
Seriously. Okay.
Apparently, Park just beat the shit out of him.
What do you mean, apparently? You didn't see it?
Dude, I'm not going to act like... let me tell you what I watched of this. I watched the GIF of Machida beating Mark Munoz. That's it.
Oh, you didn't even watch the fight?
No.
Oh, come on. GIF. At least I saw the main event.
I'll go back and I'll watch it. Yeah, I should have done that before, Lambert. But no, I watched the GIF of the head kick.
Well,
shout
no.
out to... Shout out to Alex Watt and John Butterfield as I read their report to get to, so I know what happened.
Yeah, they were in the arena.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Alex Watt got so drunk and he crashed on Butterfield's floor. Oh, those wacky Brits.
Yeah.
So, I'm actually glad to learn that John Butterfield is still alive. Haven't heard or seen anything of him in ages. He kind of disappeared after he won that bet him and I had for BJ against...
Sold his soul.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's exactly what happened.
Alessio Sakara lost to Nicholas Mazzocchi. He tapped out to an on bar.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sakara was in guard and Mazzocchi caught him in an on bar. And
remember... Sakara's still employed, but Yushin Okami, you see, he's not, his career is not on the rise, and he's a
gatekeeper. Sakara sucks. You have to suck or be
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
no
I told
ground.
You, that's exactly what it is in the UFC these days. Being, you know, just a gatekeeper, as Dana White said, it's not acceptable. You either are horrible, as is pretty much every single fighter on this card, or really good. Like Lyoto Machida. This card pretty much highlights what Dana White was saying. You're awful or you're Lyoto Machida on this card, at least.
John Lineker beat Phil Harris. Really good striking from John Lineker. He hit him with a body shot and then he went upstairs. Good boxing, according to this report. And Lineker's...
I love how you're talking as if you saw it.
No. Lineker's actually put together some decent wins at flyweight. Although he missed weight for this fight, so that kind of sucks. He's actually missed weight twice in a row. So he's put some decent wins together at Franklin
weight. At catch weight. Yeah.
No, it's just officially Franklin weight.
Isn't Franklin weight like 190-something? That's the one in between 205 and middleweight? Or like is every middle ground Franklin weight?
Yeah, every middle ground is just Franklin weight.
Okay.
Basically, any weight the UFC asks, that's Franklin weight. You linked me to the tournament, and they're like, we have an open weight tournament, Rich. And Rich is like, what's the weight? And he's like, whatever, just show up. And like, no, what's the weight? Like, 105. And so they said Franklin comes in at 105. I don't remember who wrote that.
But... Oh, Mike Fagan. That sounded funny. That was hilarious. I'll give him credit for that. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So that's why I say any weight that's not official weight is
they gave him, like, a wacky, wacky number. Like,
yeah, no, it was something, like really
105 small. Point something, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So that was the main card. Really good main card.
Awesome.
The prelims. Ally Quinta beat Peter Hallman. Sure. Luke Barnett, the Barn Cat.
Did he just come up with that nickname? Isn't that Panda McCrory's nickname?
Yeah.
You can't steal that.
I just did.
Okay.
Jessica Andrade beat Rosie Sexton. Apparently, this fight should have been stopped.
Yeah, Dana White said it. He's no doctor, but he thought it should have been stopped.
Cole Miller beat Andy Ogle. Awesome. Jimmy Hettis beat Rob Whiteford. And Brad Scott beat Michael Kiepper. So there you go. UFC Fight Night 30. Lyoto Machida remains awesome, and a bunch of other shit happened.
Pretty much.
The Samer yawns. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, but really in 5 seconds, with a preview of two, not one, but two spectacular cards. Try to contain your excitement. Thanks, everybody, for listening.